I talked to Keith about sharing this meeting. He told me to switch Haley from sharing to speaking, and I thought that was awesome. And then I said, well, this is the second speaker. And he said, oh, this blonde haired girl named Casey. And I said, is she from Homestead area or something? He said, yeah, yeah. I said, okay. I didn't know the name, but I've heard the name before from some people out in Scottsdale in that area. So it got me really excited because I do often people to speak for youth and recovery. And I'm really excited to hear this. So I'll give you KCP from the Sun Valley Historical Perspective Group of NA in the new and unnamed area.
Alright, hey everyone, I'm Casey and I'm an addict. Alright, the clean date is May 31st, 2012. I have a home group and I have a sponsor. I work steps. I'm working my steps through a second time right now, and steps save my life. They keep me sane. Thank you so much for your lead. I relate so much to your story, and I like hearing you talk about your 21st birthday. I'm 2 weeks off of my 21st birthday right now, so it's coming up on my mind, so I'm hoping that I can eat some fried pickles and go to a meeting, too. Well, I grew up in the Pittsburgh area, started drinking and smoking weed in sixth grade. I had two older brothers. One of them is a straight edge. He's an accountant. He has a fiance, and he lives a very, very normie life. And my other brother, since as early as I can remember, was causing trouble. Always phone calls home about him, and he started going out and hanging out with bad people whenever we were younger, and I always wanted to be just like him. I don't know what it was, but I just needed him to accept me, and I needed him to like me. I would tag along with him and his friends whenever we were younger. I remember one time I was trying to tag along, and he told me I couldn't, and I ended up stepping on a beehive and getting swarmed by bees. And I didn't learn my lesson. I kept trying to tag along. As we got older and he started drinking and smoking weed, I decided that that's what I was supposed to do too. So I would do what he did, and he didn't like it, so I would do it behind his back. But it's where I felt like I fit. I never felt like I fit with anyone at school. Everyone always had, like, best friends. You know, I remember when we were younger, and it was always like, oh, my BFF, everyone would go around everywhere with them. And I never had that. There was never anyone that I was super close with. I always went through phases. I would hang out with one person every day for 2 weeks, and they wouldn't want to be around me anymore. So when I found drinking and smoking weed, it was like I found my place because I could hang out with these people, and they wouldn't get tired of me because we only saw each other when we were messed up, and then they didn't even remember. So I couldn't do anything wrong, I guess. So I started tagging along with them, and then I found my own friends and fell into the group of people that drank and did that at a young age. But I always got good grades. I always did well in school. I was a gymnast my whole life, and actually when I started drinking and smoking, I had to quit gymnastics. I tried going to gymnastics high one day and doing a flip on the balance beam, and I fell on my head. So I decided that wasn't a good idea anymore. I had devoted my life to that, but I thought that what my brother was doing was more important than what I had spent. Since I was two, I was doing gymnastics. So I quit gymnastics, started playing volleyball, but I quit volleyball quickly and just continued on with what I was doing. As I got a little bit older, I started going to raves and met a lot of people who are way too old for me to be hanging out with, and that's when things started to get really bad. But I still, even with those people, though, I hear a lot of people tell their stories a lot, and they say, well, the people who drank and used, like, I fit in with them, and, like, I felt at home with them, and they made me feel accepted. I never felt accepted. I never felt at home with them. I still felt on the outside. The only difference was if I brought drugs, then they didn't care, and it didn't matter if they didn't like my personality, and it didn't matter if I liked theirs. So I didn't have to be accepted. It was just, like, people doing the same thing that I was, so I didn't feel as bad about what I was doing. Because I remember someone told me one time that as long as you're not smoking weed by yourself, you're totally fine. So I took that and I rolled with it. And if I wanted to smoke weed at 3 o'clock in the morning, I would go out and find someone to smoke weed with so I wasn't smoking weed by myself. So I guess it was probably my junior year of high school. I started getting into painkillers, started dating a guy, got introduced to his world. Started going to, I was always a camper. I loved camping. I loved backpacking. And that was a big part of my life. And that was something that kept me sane throughout the time that I was using, because I would take 3 weeks out in the summer and I would get off of whatever I was on at the time and be in the woods. And I would find my center and I would come home and I would think I was all good. And within 2 weeks, I was back into the same thing. Because I started to touch on things, but I didn't know what I was doing. I was always reaching for, like, this higher thing. I wanted a higher sense of self. I wanted to be aware. I wanted to be where I'm at today. And I wanted to be like the people that I meet in these rooms and that have that serenity. But I didn't know what it was, and I couldn't put a name to it. So I would try to reach for it with drugs, you know, and I would try to reach for it with acid. And I thought that if I took acid, I would be this all-knowing being or whatever. It didn't work like that. I became a crazy person. And I remember someone told me that if I did ketamine, then I would meet, like, the dear lady who would show me the path and, like, what life is supposed to be about. So I did ketamine for a month straight every day. It was always that. Like, I was searching for that, and I didn't know what that was, but I was searching for it, and I was searching hard. But started hanging out with this guy and his friends, and they introduced me to, like, the music festival scene, which I really liked the idea, because in my head, it was, like, everything I'd been reaching for. Like, the people that go to music festivals, they're, like, they're cool, and they're awesome, and they're what I want to be. They're the tribe I want to hang out with. But I go to a music festival, and I'd be too messed up to even get on my tent. I remember the first music festival I went to, I ended up going to a guy standing next to a tree and asking if I could buy one of his tie-dye shirts, because I thought it was a wall of tie-dye shirts. Like, I was crazy. I didn't make any friends. And they weren't the people I wanted to hang out with anyways. Like, the people were all crazy like I was. And I'm sure there were good people there, but I was with the people who were doing drugs and who were doing what I was doing and thought that the higher sense of self was tripping on acid and rolling on ecstasy. And that's what love was, and that's what, you know, spirituality was. I really, really believed it. And to this day, one of the things that, like, rolls through my head sometimes, which I can totally, that I can look past now and, like, realize it's my disease talking to me, but when I am not staying diligent with my spiritual program and not praying enough, I get this thought passing through my head, like, oh, you know, if you did acid, like, you'd probably be back there, but it's not how it is. It takes me to that highest step, and I miss all the steps along the way. Like, if I work these 12 steps, I'm going to get there to that high point that I wanted to be at without drugs, because that's just hopping me up there with no basis to stand on. But it still crosses through my head sometimes, and I have to really stay diligent on that. But started dating this guy, music festivals. Eventually, I couldn't even go to the music festivals. I couldn't even go to the raves, the places where I started doing these drugs, because all I wanted was drugs. I didn't have enough money to do anything else, you know, the typical $2 to put the gas in my car to go cop some dope and get high wherever I am and stay there. But I, again, was searching for that higher sense of self or something, so I decided that I was going to go to college in Boulder, Colorado, and that's where I was going to find all the solution that I needed, because the people in Boulder, they were going to teach me all about life, and I was going to get away from drugs, just smoke weed and be fine. Didn't work like that. I went to college, maybe drank normally for a day, and then fell right back into the drugs. Ended up, the group of people I met there and became friends with, because using addicts gravitate to each other, like fly bugs to the light. It's crazy, but I ended up hanging out with all of these people who went through the halfway house in Boulder and sailed out of it. I had no idea, and these were the people that I was hanging out with. And then slowly, as I got to know them, it's like I would start hearing them talk about stories like, oh yeah, when I was shooting heroin, I'm like, wait, what? Wait, you were doing what? And they're like, oh yeah, the first time I was in rehab, and then I realized it, and these are the people I was with. But I sort of went on like this, when I was hanging out with them, when I started hanging out with them, they were all just drinking. So they had sailed out of the halfway house because they were all young like me, and they thought that they could still drink because we were in a college town. And I remember people were always telling me, like, you can't have a problem with alcohol until you're out of college. Like, you can't be an alcoholic in college. Everyone drinks in college. And, like, as far as drugs go, like, everyone tries drugs. Like, you're young. So I thought it was okay, but I started hanging out with these people, and I watched the progression of the disease, and it's crazy to look back on now with my knowledge, because, like, we were drinking, and we would have a couple beers. And then as time went on, it would be a case of beer. And then as time went on, it was a couple of bottles. And then it was ecstasy. And then it was Xanax. And then eventually, before I knew it, like, we were doing heroin and coke. And I was using a needle, something I swore up and down that I would never do. But, like, I relapsed with these people. And it's just crazy to think back on now. But, you know, started doing what I was doing there. The guy that I was dating before that had kind of introduced me to his world was back in Pittsburgh. He got into the same stuff I got into. He started doing heroin as well back in Pittsburgh while I was in Colorado. We were both lying to each other, staying together, saying, I'm staying in tonight. Oh, so am I. When really, we're both out ripping and running, doing whatever. But we had this, like, I had this vision in my head that, like, I was in the perfect relationship. Like, everyone said long-distance relationships didn't work, and I was like, well, I'm mature enough that this is working. Like, meanwhile, anytime we were on the phone, we were screaming at each other, and we're lying to each other, and it was hectic and crazy. And so he left for rehab back in Pittsburgh, and I lost contact with him, and I, like, went off the deep end for a while. I had a dorm room, but I started sleeping on benches and walking around with, like, the old homeless men, telling them that I was homeless. I don't know. It just seemed like the right thing to say, because if I told them that I was a student at Boulder and, like, I lived in a dorm room, like, then I couldn't talk drugs with them. I don't know. I really don't know where what I thought. But so then I decided that I needed to clean my life up. My roommate and a girl from down the hall had a little intervention with me, telling me that I needed to stop doing what I was doing. So I tried to stop doing drugs, and I was just going to drink. I swore I was going to go out and just, you know, have a couple of drinks, and I was going to be good, and that was going to be all. But as soon as I took that first drink, you know, like, I couldn't help but getting to the point where I was blacked out, and then as soon as I was blacked out, I was going to pop drugs. And I couldn't figure out why. I couldn't figure it out. I remember crying to people, like, I don't know why I can't do it. I just wanted to have a couple of drinks. I just want to be normal. I just want to be normal. I can't even tell you how many times I must have said that in the past. And now I sit here and I'm like, I don't want to be normal. You know, I don't want to be a normie. I love who I am, and I love where everything that I did brought me to. But so, obviously, quitting drugs then didn't work, and I tried my second geographic, and I came back to Pittsburgh, left everything behind in Boulder, came to Pittsburgh swearing I was going to get clean and do good, and when my boyfriend got out of rehab, like, it was all going to be wonderful. I couldn't stop using. I really couldn't, and I really wanted to, and I got really scared. So eventually I overdosed and had to go to the hospital, begged them not to call my parents, which they wouldn't have anyways because I was 19 years old. But, like, that's where my head was. Like, I almost die of a drug overdose, and I'm like, oh, please don't tell my parents, and no one can know about this. But I went back and used the next day, even though I swore I wasn't going to. I didn't know how not to. And, you know, I didn't even know about Narcotics Anonymous. I knew about Alcoholics Anonymous from, like, movies and TV shows, but I thought that it was all just, like, a bunch of old people hanging out, and, like, I didn't know it was, like, a real thing. Even when I watch movies now and I watch, like, meetings that they have on it, I laugh because it's nothing like what this is. Like you said, coming home, it's totally what it was. It was like, and I actually, my boyfriend got out of rehab, and I was still high. I told him, oh, you know, everything's fine with me. I haven't drank, or I don't do drugs. I don't need any of that, because I always wanted to be the better one. You know, like, oh, you probably need help. And I told him to go to rehab, so I'm like, yeah, you probably need help. Like, if you want to be with me, you're going to have to go get help. And he's like, oh, I'll do outpatient rehab. And I'm like, no, you're going to need to do inpatient if you want to be in my level. So he did it, and he got out. I'm the high one. But he was going to a meeting, and I was like, oh, and really in my head I was curious because I saw this glimmer in his eyes, and he was like, he looked happy, and that's something I've never seen before. In the 3 years I know him, I've never seen him look happy. So I was like, oh, you know, well, I want to go to that meeting with you just to support you, because I knew that I had a problem, and I knew I wanted help, but I couldn't tell him because no one else could know that I had a problem when really it was obvious to everyone else. I thought I looked fine. You know, I was like, I'm good. Like, I'm still living a productive lifestyle. I failed out of college. Actually, I didn't even officially fail out. I ran away from college and ran back to Pittsburgh. My parents didn't even know I was in Pittsburgh. I was living at my brother's house. I was a mess. But he took me to this meeting with him, and I felt like I was home. And afterwards, someone came up to us and introduced himself to us. And I'm like, oh, you know, I'm not like you. And he's like, are you sure? Have you ever done drugs before? I'm like, yeah, a couple times, but not really. He's like, well, are you addicted to any drugs? And like asking me all these questions. And he's still a friend of mine in this program, and it's really cool because it got me thinking, and I was like, maybe this can be for me too. And then we went out to eat, and the first woman I ever met in this program was my sponsor, Carla. This guy introduced me to her at the table and said, oh, here, get her number. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I can't just get someone's number that I don't know. But I got her number, and I ended up a few days later deciding that I was going to go to treatment, and I wanted to try it. So I ran away from home to go to rehab then. I didn't tell my parents. I was too scared of everyone around me. I had my brother drive me, and I just left. But I got into rehab, and everyone around me was at least 20 years older than me. And I had a couple people say things to me like, what are you doing here? Like, you're 19 years old. You're fine. Like, you're fine. And I kept to myself. I didn't want to really tell them much about me. But there was another girl in there, and I really think that this was my first, like, example of a true higher power, like, when I noticed and I knew it had to be something greater. But a girl who had tried to kill herself and ended up getting put into the treatment with me. And, like, medically she should have never lived through what she lived through. And she was in there with me, and she was only a year older than me. She turned 21 while we were in there together. And she had been around the program for years. Her sister had been in another program. She'd been in another program. Her parents were in the program. And she started telling me things about the program, and it was all good things, you know, and telling me what was possible and everything. And then I was able to open my ears up and listen through the meetings there and stuff. And when people from Narcotics Anonymous came in, like, I felt that love again. And then that guy that I met at the first meeting, who was asking me if I was one of them, ended up speaking while I was there. And so I took suggestions, and I went to the halfway house, and I went to a sober living, a three-quarter house, and I waited until I had a year to come out. Most of the people that I went through everything with after that were all closer to my age, and from 20 girls who were in a treatment that I was in, I'm the only one who's still clean today. Two of them came back, the rest of them are out, three of them are dead. It's crazy, you know, and I heard a girl share when I had somewhere around 6 months, and she was taking up a four-year TTAG, and she was 18 years old. And up until then, I still wasn't convinced that I was old enough to get this program. And she said, if you're young enough to die from this disease, you're young enough to recover from it. And that was what I needed. That was definitely what I needed to stay around longer, because from all the people who had been going back out around me, I really thought it wasn't possible for me at my age to do that. I really thought that. But when I saw her up there, it gave me hope. And I stuck around a little bit longer, and I got some more hope of my own. And then I started generating more hope. And then I realized that it was possible, and that my life is really cool today. And I had a lot of trouble letting go of old people. you know, all the old friends, and they would call me, and they were in college, and like, oh, we're going to a party tonight, and I thought, I would start thinking, like, oh, that's what I should be doing right now, not going to a meeting, but in reality, like, I hated that back then. I hated going to parties. I hated being around people, because I didn't know how to be around people unless I was messed up, and then I didn't remember anyways, and, like, today I get to come to meetings, and I get to, like, have people greet me that care about me and tell me they're happy to see me, and I get to go out to eat with people afterwards and just, like, hang out and talk about nothing and everything all at the same time. And I can bullshit and have super conversations, and 5 minutes later have a really awesome spiritual conversation that, like, enriches me so much. And all of that, everything I was looking for before, like, that higher understanding, I get it today. And every meeting I'm in, I get a little piece of it, another little piece of it. And then I get to come to things like this, and I get to pitch a tent and camp out with a bunch of people and come here and share my story, for better or for worse, and just be surrounded by this. It says something in the basic text, I'm probably going to butcher it, but it says something about coming into the rooms and finding your tribe. The people that you had run with in the streets, except with something different, a hope that you wanted. And that spoke volumes to me. And that's when I started to understand that I had been searching for this for all those years. Because I was subconsciously searching for that higher thing. And I was always, I didn't know it. You know, I wasn't sitting there, going to a festival to do acid and sitting there beforehand with my friends saying, hey guys, listen, so I'm looking for a higher consciousness today, and I want some spirituality in my life right now. So when I read that, I realized it, and I realized that I had found my tribe, and my tribe were, like, it's people of all ages, and it's people from everywhere, and I have friends in recovery in all different states now, so, you know, I could, if I travel, I know people there, and I can go to a meeting. And if I don't know people, I can go to a meeting, and it's like I know people. And I walk into a meeting I've never been in before with nobody I ever know, but I'm still home. You know, I have a family in these rooms today, and I'm always looking for more people to bring in, because it's the more people. I mean, it's so much fun. It's I have fun here, a fun that I've never had before. I have a peace today. I love the peace that I have today, and I still go crazy. I'm still crazy a lot, but I don't know. I guess we're all crazy, just not on the same day, you know, and that's the beauty of it. So if I'm crazy today, you can pull me through. You're crazy tomorrow, I'll pull you through, and that's really cool. I have a connection with a higher power today, and it doesn't have to be the higher power that my parents had put in my head when I was younger. It's my own higher power, and it changes every day. You know, today it might be the trees, tomorrow it's some being in the sky, the next day it's a swirl of rainbows in the sky, the next day it's a paintbrush, you know, it's different every day, but it's allowed to be different every day, and I can pray today, I can pray, which is crazy. I thought that if I tried to pray before, I would, like, burst in the flames. I was totally convinced, but I hit my knees in the morning, and I hit my knees at night, and I ask for patience, and I ask for kindness, and I ask for, you know, a higher understanding, and I get it, and I everything that's been put in my life today has been guiding me to the place where I've always wanted to be, and I'm building that life, and that's really cool. You know, my step work is clearing up everything that, all the wreckage of my past, and it's giving me more of an understanding of myself, so that when I do go to job interviews, like you said, I went to a couple of job interviews, and they're like, wow, you just have such, like, a great understanding of these things. Most people have the generic, like, these are the things that I'm bad at, these are the things that I'm good at, and I'm like, yeah, well, you know, because it's all from my step work and the things that I've learned in these rooms and things that I've heard people share in meetings that really resonates with me. And I feel like they're sharing something about me, and then I take it on, and then I can say it again, and it can help someone else. I can be part of society today, which I could never do before. I was borderline agoraphobic right when I got clean because I didn't know how to be around people if I wasn't messed up at all. And today I can go places by myself. I don't need someone with me everywhere I go. I can go to a new meeting alone. I can come to this retreat, drive up here by myself because I know there's going to be people here. You know, and even if I didn't know people that were here, I know that there would be people that I would relate to here and that would make me feel like I was at home. Just for today, I never have to get high again, and I'm excited to hopefully never have a legal drink. And that's all. Thank you.